If you think back to when you were a kid, just about any bicycle that you would get on had a reflector. And if it was evening, nighttime, you were riding around your neighborhood, that reflector would not be a light. But whenever there was a source of light, it would never fail to reflect. And of course, that was the purpose on bikes as far as being a safety feature. But a reflector, not being light itself, would never fail reflecting light when that light source was there. Turn with me to John, the first chapter, the Gospel of John, the first chapter, verse 5. It says, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." When we look at that verse of what is being said here, and we know that in the Gospel of John focuses a lot about Jesus Christ being the light. But it says here that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Contrasting what is being said here to a reflector on the bike, that whenever there was a light source, that reflector comprehends it, and it reflects that light. What is being talked about here is a darkness where light is shining in that darkness, but that darkness does not comprehend the light that is there and to reflect that light. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, we know the words of Jesus when he says, "You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden." Yeah, it's fine for us, and I think right for us to say, we are the light of the world. But I think the light that is in us, the light that we may refer to ourselves, will have a whole lot more power if we think and always have that in our memory, that we are reflecting the light of God and the light of Jesus Christ. And when we are reflecting that and not being like the darkness that does not comprehend the light, that is comprehend God and Jesus Christ, then we will be the light to the world when we are truly reflecting the light of God and Jesus Christ. 1 John 1 verse 5 says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Recently, a few months ago, we got out of the church service, and it was evening, getting close to dusk, and there was a neat scene as the sun was going down, and just a bunch of light rays coming off the sun, and some clouds as it's coming from behind the clouds. Kayla took a picture of it, and recently, they blew it up, and they put this verse in the bottom of that picture, and it turned out great. As far as God is light and him is no darkness at all. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." When we think about reflecting, we think about it as a reflector on a bicycle, and we might look at it kind of in a casual sense. But, you know, a reflector has, like I said, a very important safety feature for a kid who's at dusk, nighttime. You know, if there's a car coming with its lights on, it's going to show up. So the idea of reflecting is not really a casual thought, a casual word. And when you look at the two primary definitions of reflect in a dictionary, one is going to be to think seriously on. And Bowen mentioned his prayer. Alan mentioned it in a preparation of our minds and eating the Lord's Supper together on Sunday. And we know the time of year that it is, that this word gets mentioned a lot. But to think seriously on is reflecting. It's just not a casual thought. The other definition is to give back an image of. And when you consider that, especially in the spiritual sense, that the idea of reflection and reflecting is not one that is casual. if we understand that we are reflecting the light that is God and Jesus Christ, that means that we are giving back an image. So what is the image of God and Jesus Christ that we are giving from our lives? Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. When Paul writes to Timothy in verse 12, he says, Don't let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers. And he mentions six things here: in word, conduct, love, spirit, faith, and purity. So as he is writing to Timothy, he is saying you need to be an example. And he said example to believers. And, of course, we know that we are not only example to other believers, but we are example to the world. But he names these six things that we should be examples in. And briefly, what I want us to do is to still stick with this idea of reflecting in these six areas that is mentioned here in Paul's letter to Timothy. In word, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So, as Timothy, or we, are to be examples in word, what we're talking about is that in word, we are reflecting Jesus Christ. And what we see in this verse 14 talks about Jesus Christ, the Word becoming flesh. And then that verse ends, being the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So in reflecting Jesus Christ and God, our word should be of grace and truth. We could look at other scriptures as far as being seasoned with salt, our speech, other verses as far as the manner of speech and the words that we should have. So our word, In the way that we express things and what we express things, being truthful with grace, we see that that is Jesus Christ, and we are reflecting Jesus Christ when we are the proper example in word. In conduct, or our manner of life, looking in the Gospel of John chapter 13. Verses 13 through 17. Jesus says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." In conduct, in manner of life, when Jesus was upon this earth, who is our master, if our conduct is after him, we know that we are not greater than our master, that he has set the example, and we should do those things, and our manner of life should be after of he who sent us, and that is God and Jesus Christ. Quickly in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets." Even though this is about love, I use this verse in manner of life and conduct, because what is said here is going to dictate what our manner of life is and our conduct. In love, I'd like to look at one passage in Ephesians. And that's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." Again, the love of Jesus Christ epitomizes love, and the love of God as well. And we are to walk in love, as Timothy was told to be an example in love, and we as well, that we can see that we are simply reflecting the love of Jesus Christ and love of God our Father. In spirit, I don't think this is referring to the Holy Spirit in this context, but there's a passage in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. It says, "The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart." So the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. You know, that is our inner being, which you could get into our attitude. You know, if we will acknowledge, like the first verse that we looked at, is talking about the light shining in darkness and the darkness not comprehended it. If our spirit is such that we are going to comprehend the light of God and of Jesus Christ, and then we want to reflect that light, we have the spirit that is the lamp for the Lord. And it says that the Lord is searching all the inner depths of our heart, that we might have that lamp for the Lord. And one other verse in the Gospel of John again, chapter 6, verse 63. It says, "It is the Spirit," that is the Holy Spirit, "who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak," this is Jesus speaking, "the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." Faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. This will be familiar to you from Sunday. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us, him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Verse 3, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." So Timothy, be an example of faith. We, be an example of faith. We are reflecting the faith of Jesus Christ, as we see here, and that Jesus is both the author and the finisher of our faith, as we reflect the faith of Jesus Christ. Chapter 3 of Hebrews, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house." Reflecting the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And lastly, the purity. Just want to look at the passage in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." So when we look at what we should be in these areas of word, conduct, love, spirit, faith, and purity, we can look and see that all these things are Jesus Christ, and we are simply reflecting Jesus Christ in doing these things and being an example of these things. And lastly, I'd like for us to just look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." So the instruction is to meditate on these things. In other words, reflect on these things. If we reflect on these things as the definition of to think seriously on, those things that are pure, those things that are holy, of good report, then we also will be able to reflect. That is, giving back the image of God and Christ to those around us. Thank you for your attention.